Welcome to Environmental Voices. I'm your host, Marie Rock, and today we continue our six-part series on human population and its effects on the environment. This series is courtesy of Anup Shah and the website globalissues.org. Today we're going to talk about stress on the environment, society, and resources. Another fundamental issue is that food and health are increasingly becoming commodities. That is, the ability for people to pay for these and other things that govern whether or not they will go hungry, ill, or more. Hence, it's in the root causes of poverty that determine who gets to consume resources and, as a result, what affects environmental degradation and so on. Hunger, as described as a result of geopolitics that diverts land use from widespread ownership to controlled and concentrated ownership. Economic policies of things like food aid, such as food dumping, that's dumping surplus food onto developing countries to undersell the local farmers, are known and shown to increase world hunger, even though food production so far has more than kept up with the pace of population growth. Of course, land degradation due to inefficient and wasteful agriculture policies makes it unlikely that this pace can continue for too long, but dealing with this by population reduction in some way will still leave inefficient agricultural methods in place, which would continue to contribute to environmental degradation. Additionally, population growth is not the cause of world hunger, but due to politics and economics that affect distribution of land and more. At the same time, international political and economic agreements result in using this precious land for things like tobacco, tea, coffee, floriculture, wasteful dam projects, sugar, beef, and so on. Some of these things, such as sugar and beef, are luxuries turned into necessities, as not all consumption demands are natural demands. Some demands and habits can be promoted or encouraged over others. Hence, those who are more wealthy, and therefore more powerful, either economically, politically, or both, can be more influential in affecting the uses of our resources. As mentioned, much land, including parts of the Amazon, are cleared to grow cattle for McDonald's and other fast food chains, not necessarily to meet majority human needs. And, as also mentioned, approximately one-third of the world's grain production is used for animal feed. Of course, it's more complex than that, as political aspects of land control and its use still need to be addressed. For example, there's obviously the risk of using that land to meet other demands, such as drugs. Sugar, as another example, has historically required slavery-based plantations, and even today, sugar is grown in vast amounts, especially in various poor nations, for consumptions of fast foods, soda drinks, candies, chocolates, sweets, and other confectionaries. All this requires intensive use of pesticides, fertilizers, and so on, while decreasing biodiversity and increasing land erosion and water consumption. Indirectly, there are additional enormous environmental costs that are not usually factored in, that is, the cost of using resources in the industries that support these things. As a very incomplete example, many of the resources are required to create, maintain, and support the office buildings where people work in these industries, to support the marketing, to support efforts in creating demands as well as meeting real and resulting demands, to distribute and sell, to create new ideas and products, to create, maintain, and support factories to make the actual products, to create the materials for packaging, to deal with the waste and disposal of these packages, to deal with the resulting health problems and resources used to deal with them, to pay and support lobbyists to help governments and regulation agencies to see their perspectives, and so on. An entire industry is a wasteful industry when looked from a social and ecological perspective, but an efficient one when looked at from profit and capital accumulation perspective. Like the example, many other industries exhibit such waste. Some are more difficult to see compared to others, as all these aspects are structured into the system, and even inequalities that this results in are structured into laws and processes. So yes, humans do affect and put stress on the environment. However, the way they do is not necessarily a simple result of overpopulation. Population-related burdens on cities and resources are an issue, nonetheless, especially how they're consumed, and it's only one of the many other causes, and some of those issues, such as overconsumption based on sustainable development, may have a larger impact on the environment. Material consumption has also increased as a result, and so there are also more resources being used in the demands to produce and purchase these goods than in meeting the needs of the majority of the poor. And going back to the UN statistic, if 86% of the world's resources are consumed by only the wealthiest one-fifth of humanity, then that is where the imbalance needs to be addressed. Environmental degradation may be occurring in poor countries, but it is to meet these consumption patterns. Of course, if the currently developing countries are trying to imitate the already developed nations, then the quote about needing more than one planet for resources and waste absorption starts to sound more real and urgent, and so too does the importance of directing and focusing energies in the right areas. For more information on this topic, globalissues.org. That's going to wrap up part four of a six-part series on human population and environmental effects. Next week, the series continues with effects of overconsumption and increasing populations. For KOJB 90.1 The Eagle, I'm Marie Rock.